in a minute. Just let me gear up here. It's just like starting out a big old diesel truck sometimes. You got to work it through the gears. So I'll chat with you for a few minutes because that's just the way I do. Amen. Now, funny thing about it is when I look back over the crowd, I was thinking, great, there aren't that many folks here this morning. Now all these people showed up. So what's that all about? Huh? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, what I like to do is I love to worship. That's what I do. If there's worship going on somewhere, guess what? I'm in the middle of it because I'm worshiping. We have worship practice on a Sunday night or something. I'm worshiping during worship practice. Why? Because it just stirs something in my spirit. And so when I come into the house, I want to be involved in that worship. And, you know, today I stand back here. And the reason I stand back here is because I've been having a little trouble with the singing lately. It gives me a little bit of a headache sometimes. And I didn't want to stand up here going like this while I was talking to you with a headache. But sometimes when I'm singing, I get this headache. So I decided to stay back here this morning. But I wanted to be up here. I wanted to be worshiping. But I can worship anywhere. I don't have to be up there. I can raise my hands, lift my heart, and lift my voice no matter where I'm at. And that's what I like to do. If anybody knows me, I like to sing. I like to worship. I even like to be the center of attention. Come on. But that's what I like to do. I love to worship. It just thrills me. It gets my spirit going. Gets me lifted up. And I believe that our Lord and Savior loves to hear that worship. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, I'm really glad to see all of you here today. And I'm just pleased as punch to... Is that a West Virginia saying? Pennsylvania. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, pleased as punch. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the book of John chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse number 1 here in a minute. But I still want to ramble a little bit first, if that's okay. For anybody who doesn't know me, I've been unemployed for a while. And it's given me a lot of time to think, to reflect, to look, to do, to bother my wife, to watch my grandbabies, to get fatter, you know. You like that? That's profile right there, baby. That's the preacher profile. You're saying, what the heck is he talking about? I'm gearing up. But amen. But I've been unemployed for a while, and I've been contemplating the word and singing the songs of Zion, listening to the word, preaching the word to myself, preaching it to Sherry. Had a magnificent word prepared, and the Lord switched gears. Now, isn't that just like him? Or at least it was magnificent in my mind. Amen. We're going to go to the book of John chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse number 1. Amen. And I'm going to ask you a question in a little bit, if I remember to. Somebody standing here being silent just gets to you, doesn't it? I love to do that. Everybody's going, what the heck's going on? John chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, after these things there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in these five porches lay a multitude of them that were sick and blind, halt, withered. And a certain man was there who had been there 38 years. And I know we just talked about this recently. And I hope that I can bring just a little bit different phase to it. And when Jesus saw him lying and knew that he had now been a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wouldst thou be made whole?" And the sick man answered him, said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." And straightway the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And see, what we see here in this picture is there was a man who had reached a state of hopelessness. And every once in a while in our lives, we get a little bit on the hopeless side. And we get a little bit on the downside. And we get a little bit on the discouraged side. And all we need to do is start to look to the one who can lift us up. And I want you to know that if you're sitting beside the pool today and you're just waiting for the Lord, or you're just waiting for your healing, or you're just waiting for something to happen for someone else, maybe to do something, look to him. Look to him. He's walking by you today and he wants to help you. He wants to lift you up. You look around in the church, and we've got a fantastic body here. Everybody in here. Love everybody in here. Just wonderful. And you look at folks, and you can't tell where they're at in their mind or where they're at in their heart. We don't always know. You can put on a good facade. People say, "Look at that guy wearing that blue shirt, that black jacket. He's looking pretty good." Yeah. Monty and Andy going, "Huh?" Sir, certainly he's not unemployed. He's wearing a suit. We can put on all kinds of stuff, but it doesn't change what's going on. And so we can look around sometimes in the body of Christ, and we all have this persona on. We're coming into church. We're coming into the house of the Lord. People handing us candy, greeting us, we're singing some great songs, we're getting old, but inside sometimes there's still some pain, there's still some hurting going on, and we try to put on there used to be a movie out about putting on these plastic faces, and we put on a facade sometimes, but sometimes deep down inside we're hurting, we're down, we're sick. We might be in despair, but I want you to know that God can meet you wherever you're at today, and he can lift you up. Now, we all get discouraged. Anybody else get discouraged except me? We all get discouraged at times. Jimmy just came out of a mini layoff or something. I mean, he didn't expect that. He's working for the government. Gets laid off at the government, Jimmy. Amen? Because that's what happens sometimes. Crap happens. And he was probably a little bit discouraged about that. He just bought a new home. His wife's out there spending money like water. Just kidding, Amanda. Where's she at? She'll kill me. But, I mean, he's filling that house up with furniture and things are going great. He's got a great job. And all of a sudden they come up to him and say, "Guess what? Government shut down. You're laid off." Now, we all know in our minds, "Oh, that's in the last few days," but no, you don't. So there was a little bit of apprehension, a little bit of fear there probably. I didn't talk to Jimmy, so I don't know. He might have been doing great. But there's always a little bit of apprehension. Do you ever find yourself in a place where you're trying to put on the facade of everything's doing great. But inside, it's not always going great. Now, I'm not here to bring you down or to lower your expectation, but I'm here to lift you up today. Because here was a man sitting by the pool, and he'd been there a long time, 38 years. That dude been there a long time. Some of you aren't even 38 years old. Like me. Yeah, man. 38 years a dude been laying there. Well, he hadn't been laying there, but somebody been bringing him and laying him there. Where'd the guys go that brought him there? Get them to push you in. But the man can never get into that water to get healed. You know, we come into the house of the Lord sometimes for 38 years. And the healing and the restoration and the lifting up is right here. And we say, well, I just couldn't get there. I was sitting right here. Oh, I'll go over here. I don't want to point at you. I was sitting right here. Come on. God is right here today. He's right here today. The water's stirring today. And he wants to heal you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to restore your soul. He wants to get your spirit lifted up. You know, one of the things with getting older, man, it really stinks. Well, it does. Because you get these aches and these pains. Come on, John. You get these aches and pains and you're thinking, oh, crap. The heck is that? You know, you go out, you walk your mile and you're thinking you'd really done something good. And you go out and measure with your car and it turns out you only walked a quarter mile. That's bad. That's bad. When your guy used to run 10 miles a day and you can barely make a mile walking, that means you're fat or something's going wrong somewhere. I used to be a long-distance runner. I have a hard time walking across the yard. And I get discouraged in that. And do I do anything about it? Nope. Go back and sit in that chair. Say, you know, I'm really tired. Apple pie. Give me a piece of apple pie, honey. Let me sit here and contemplate this. I am depressed. Give me some food. You see that profile? I'm working on that. Not increasing it, I hope. Come on, I've seen other profiles in here. Don't be a hater. God wants to lift you up. He wants to move you into something better. You say, well, it ain't that bad. Come on. Let's don't settle for less. Let's don't settle for second. Let's strive for first. Come on. That's my favorite saying. Come on. I say that all the time. I tell Sherry, I say, come on. When she's dragging along. I'm just kidding, baby. Well, I'll just come over here for a while. No lunch today. She's going to put me on that diet, get rid of this. Amen. But we need to encourage one another. My only purpose in being here this morning is to bring you a word of encouragement. And if you've been by that pool for 38 years or 38 days or 38 minutes, I want you to know that Jesus is there to lift you up. What did he say to him? Rise up. Rise up. Get up out of your place. Pick up that bed and walk. Come on. We're laying there just molly grubbing away. Jimmy was home this week saying, man, the government shut down. No, he wasn't. He was being encouraged. He's being lifted up. I'll guarantee you, Sister Jenny was on the phone with him saying, don't worry. Don't you worry. Huh? Come on. Has anybody ever been in the Molly Grubs? Have you ever allowed yourself to get down? Get back up. I'm telling you this morning that Jesus is here and he wants to lift you up right now. Well, Jim, what do we got to do? You want to be lifted up? You want Jesus to lift you up? Rise up. Rise up. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Come on. Everybody stand. Rise up. Rise up. You're dismissed. Go home. No, I'm just kidding. Rise up. Everybody rise up. How hard is that? The word came forth and you rose. That's how easy our healing can come to us if we believe on the word of God and who he is. You can sit down now. Come on, that's how easy it is. We make this a big deal. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. I wasn't sure if I'd get using this or not, but it is my crutch. I love this blackboard. Yeah, I love this green board. Praise the Lord. Immediately that man was made whole. He took up his bed and what? Walked. Amen. I do something in what I do when I am working. When I do work, what I do is I go into facilities and into companies, and we help them transform themselves. Does that sound familiar? Amen. We help them transform themselves from a company that is operating in the red, for a company that is operating negatively, for a company that is operating inefficiently, and we go in and we help them. We don't go in and dictate it, but we do go in and help them. And one of the things that one of the tools that we use, it's called a value stream map. Anybody ever heard of a value stream map? You have them, no? Value stream map. I need to talk to your boss and we'll come down there. It's called a value stream map. Okay? My wife's going, I knew somehow he'd get back to work. Okay? Years ago, I ministered a series over in this other church on continuous improvement, on continually improving. Everything that I see and what I do and where I work, I can relate it back to Christ and relate it back to our lives. So what I do, can everybody see that? It says value stream map. What we do is we go into a place, okay, and we'll get back to John chapter 5 here in a minute. We go into a place, and I do something that's called a simplified version, because you know how it is, right? You know how it is. People get a process or something, and then they decide to make it better. And they add all this crap, right, until the point where it's not better anymore, but it's worse because they've added too much stuff and it's made it confusing. So I do a simplified version. I do the Jim Murray version of a value stream map. So when you see this, if you ever get into a class or something and you say, well, ain't the way Jim did it, you'll know that they just added a bunch of junk. So anyhow, we do something called value stream mapping. Now listen to those two words. I want you to remember those. Value stream, right? And in our lives, the Old Testament methodology, the old ways of doing things, a value stream looked a little bit like this. You had your starting point, right? And then you had your commandments. And then you had the rest of the law. And then out of that, you had some more law. Now, this law, you had the distortions that took place, right? Right? We've heard the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their versions of things. And it starts to grow, right? This stream of effort, right? and it gets pretty wild looking because it starts to go everywhere, right? We remember Jesus talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he was talking to them, and they said, "What do you think about this?" And he'd get down, he'd write in the dirt, or he'd say this, or he'd say that. He says, "Well, what's the word say?" And they said, "Well, the word says we should do this. What do you think about tithe paying? What do you think about this?" And they were always trying to trick him up. And he always came back with a simplified answer. And what happened was, in the Old Testament, we'll just call it the Old, it started to get out of control. Right? We all know this. Everybody knows the story of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those guys were trying to trick Jesus all the time. Right? Right? And so what they had was they had something that got looking really wicked looking, right? This is called a map, right? It's called a map. And this one might come back to here, and then this one, you know. And so they got lines going everywhere. Well, Jesus comes along, and he puts together a new value stream. And he says, "Well, what's the first thing we do?" Well, we start, right? We start. And what's the first step? Salvation. We get saved, right? Salvation. Then what happens? You get the Holy Ghost? That Holy Ghost comes in? Well, then the Holy Ghost comes in. Then what happens? Baptized, you grow up into the Father. You get baptized. You grow in the Father. And that's it, right? I mean, that's pretty much it, right? We get saved. We get the Holy Ghost. We get baptized. Share it. And then we finish. So, is that a better process than that? Well, it's simpler. If it's simpler, in my world, simpler is always better. If I ask Brother Ike to build me a building, he ain't going to do it the hardest way possible. He's going to do it the best way. And the best way is probably the simplest way. Amen? Not the wrong way now. Brother Ike, don't get mad at me. Not the wrong way. The simplest way. Because I know he's a carpenter. Carpenter of carpenters. So what I'm trying to say is not only the Old Testament, but even in the church world today, we've made a mess of things by adding stuff all the time. And it's this simple. Bang, 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 bang. That's how simple it is. That's what I do when I go into factories. And I say, "Look, what's the process?" And they give you this process. And it's all over the place. And you start saying, "Well, now how can we make that better?" And you say, "Well, you know, here." And you make some suggestions. And pretty soon they're doing it themselves. And they come up with a process. We were just in a place this past spring. And the place was running at 70 to 80%. Efficiency. And I know that it's not important to you, especially in your Christian walk. But they're running at 70 to 80%. They were afraid because they weren't even in their busy season yet, and they were running at 70 to 80%. And they had to be at 100. And we went in and we did some value stream mapping with those folks and processes that they said are the worst processes in here. You won't fix them. Yes, we will. We went in there and we got this process. Guess what? For 5 months in a row, in their busiest seasons, these folks are at 100%. Because we took that gobbledygook and made it simple. Now, why am I saying all that? I'm saying all that to say this to you. Don't make this walk with Christ a big gobbledygook of mess. Allow it to be simple and just follow the steps. You know what I'm saying? Is that clear as mud? No? clearer than mud. Amen. We make it too hard sometimes. We make it too hard. That's what the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the C's of the world were doing in the time of Jesus, is they were making it too hard. Why were they making it too hard? Because they didn't want anybody to have what they had. Guess what? I don't want what you've got. I want something better. Now, I want you to know that that takes place in this day and age as well. You'll go into some houses, some churches, and they'll want to put so much burden on you that you're thinking, well, I might as well just go home. I can't do that. I can't do that. Well, amen. It happens. It happens. I'll tell you something right now. I'm not long-winded. Nope, I'm not. I'm also going to tell you I'm not done yet, but I'm not long-winded. But I want you to get this clear in your head. It doesn't have to be hard to get to the end result. Just simple steps. Follow the steps. Follow the process. Develop that process. That process has already been developed for you. You know, I've always got to get back to what I do because that's what I do. Well, of course, I could have talked about sitting on the couch for the last couple months, but that wouldn't have been near as much fun. And I'm good at it, aren't I, baby? I can sit on the couch now. Come on, John. But I want you to know that this process in Christ isn't so difficult that you can't walk it out. It's not so difficult that you can't do it. You don't have to worry about all the condemnation and the stuff that comes from people wanting to drive you down because you don't meet what they think you should be meeting. It's about your relationship with Him. When our pastor started this church 40 years ago, it was called the Word of Deliverance. Some folks tried to shorten it. They called it the Word and, you know, W-O-D. But it's the Word of Deliverance. Why? Because it'll deliver you out of wherever you're at. There's a word that goes forth here that is real, that is rich, that is alive, that will make you better, that will make it simpler for you to walk this walk. Man, if I put a bunch of do's and don'ts and lists and Him hauling around on you, you're going to struggle in that. How do I know that? Because I've listened to some of that stuff. And all it does is drag you down. You got some people that will condemn you. Ignore it. Because I'm telling you, you're loved if you're in this house. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind. Because nobody else loves you, I love you. Just ask my wife. I'm a loving kind of guy. Well, don't ask my wife. No, I'm just kidding. But we love you. We love each and every one of you. I mean, that's so important for me to convey that to you today because I want you to know that this body of Christ is loved. This ain't fake. This ain't put on. This is real. When them ladies greet you, they greet you in reality. When the pastors are back here at the end of service, they don't go back here just so they can shake your hand and get all your germs. They shake your hand because they love you. They hug your neck because they love you. If I give you a hug, I love you. I know, rocks, lay off, I know. But if I'm hugging your neck, it's because I love you, man. I love you. Thanks. I was hoping one person would say that. I was starting to get a little worried, Butch. Thanks, brother. Whew. I got one person beside you who loves me. And you're a little bit questionable some days, but no, I'm just kidding. So, we go to the book of John, chapter 5, and this dude was in a state of hopelessness, wasn't he? He's laying beside the pool. I'm telling you, if you're laying anywhere for 38 years, you're hopeless. Come on. You've reached a state of hopelessness. You're thinking this ain't ever going to change. You're thinking I'm always going to be like this. He'd reached a point of hopelessness. He was in despair. He didn't expect any cure. But Jesus came by. And Jesus said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I've been laying here and nobody put me in the water." Jesus said, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." And when he rose up, even though he knew, because he'd heard the word, 38 years he'd been around that porch. He heard that you aren't supposed to carry your bed. He picked up that bed and walked. Why? Because the one who had healed him said, "Pick up your bed and walk." Why? Because he's thinking, if that dude can heal me, then apparently he knows something I don't. I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to pick up that bed. I'm going to tell you something this morning. If someone comes in and you get healed, what are you going to do? You're going to listen. You're going to listen. You're going to listen. So when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they all came, they all got all mad, which they always do. You're carrying your bed on the Sabbath. You're going to die. You're breaking the law. Somewhere in here, there's a step that says don't carry your bed on the Sabbath, even though you've been healed. I don't see it down here. Jesus said, "Pick up your bed and get out of here." That's not the way it reads, but I'll guarantee you that's about the mindset he was in. Get that bed, pick it up, and get out of here. It's time for you to walk. It's time for you to be healed. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Just bear with me. Bear with me. Why did he tell him to take up his bed and walk? Why did he tell him that? Let him do what he wants, right? I think he wanted to stir up some stuff a little bit. He was always stirring stuff up. Come on. Jesus, you are a troubled guy. So this gentleman, was that healing going to make him a better man? Was that healing going to change who he was inside? No. There had to be a yielding of his spirit to God. You know, I've been healed several times in my life. And each time, it's made me feel great. It's made me feel better. But it didn't change my heart. Jesus had to change my heart. We have to yield to the Spirit for him to change our heart. Okay, next verse. Verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day." Could you put that up in the message for me, please? I'm sorry. The Jews stopped the healed man and said, it's the Sabbath. You can't carry your bedroll around. It's against the rules. But he told them, the man who made me well told me to. He said, take your bedroll and start walking. Stop. Now, this man knew the law. He knew he was breaking the law when he did that. But he's thinking, hey, if this dude can heal me, then I'm thinking he's got some authority to tell me what to do. I'm going to listen to him. But he told them, the man who made me well told me to. He said, take your bedroll and start walking. They ask, who gave you the order to take it up and start walking? But the healed man didn't know, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd. Wasn't that just like Jesus? A little later, Jesus found him in the temple and said, you look wonderful, you're well. Don't return to a sinning life or something worse might happen. The man went back, told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And that is why the Jews were out to get Jesus, because he did this kind of thing on the Sabbath. How dare he? How dare he? Good God Almighty, he's healing on the Sabbath. Can you imagine? Telling the healed guy to pick up his bed. What an awful guy. What a terrible man. We need to get him. But Jesus defended him. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. I missed that last one, didn't I? Go back. That is why the Jews were out to get him, because Jesus, to get Jesus, because he did this kind of thing on the Sabbath, verse 17. But Jesus defended himself. My Father is working straight through even on the Sabbath, so am I. My Father's working straight through. Y'all ever worked overtime? Come on. The overtime king. The king of overtime, Andrew Hiles. Cha-ching. Get the wheelbarrow out. But he's working overtime. Don't you love that? God working overtime. He's not getting time and a half. He just likes to do it to stir folk up. I'm going to work some overtime. I'm going to work on your Sabbath. I'm going to mess up what you think is God. Every time I start to figure God out, he goes, switches gears. Ah, man, I love it. My Father's working straight through, even on the Sabbath. So am I. So am I. Come on. Oh, man. He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop for the Sabbath. He doesn't stop for this or that. He doesn't stop if you're laid off. He doesn't stop if you're sick. He continually works to benefit you. Verse number 18. That really set them off. The Jews were now not only out to expose him, they were out to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his own Father, putting himself on the level of God. So Jesus explained himself at length. I'm telling you this straight. The Son can't independently do a thing. Only what he sees the Father doing. What the Father does, the Son does. The Father loves the Son and includes him in everything he's doing, but you haven't seen the half of it yet. For in the same way that the Father raises the dead and creates life, so does the Son. The Son gives life to anyone he chooses. Neither he nor the Father shuts anyone out. The Father handed all authority to judge over to the Son, so that the Son will be honored equally with the Father. Anyone who dishonors the Son dishonors the Father, for it was the Father's decision to put the Son in the place of honor. It's urgent that you listen carefully to this. Anyone here who believes what I am saying right now and aligns himself with the Father, who has in fact put me in charge, has at this very moment the real lasting life and is no longer condemned to be an outsider. This person has taken a giant step from the world of the dead to the world of the living. Go on. It's urgent that you get this right. The time has arrived, I mean right now, when dead men and women will hear the voice of the Son of God, and hearing will come alive. Just as the Father has life in himself, he has conferred on the Son life in himself. And he has given him the authority, simply because he is the Son of Man, to decide and carry out matters of judgment. Don't act so surprised at all this. The time is coming when everyone dead and buried will hear his voice. Those who have lived the right way will walk out into resurrection life. Those who have lived the wrong into resurrection judgment. I can't do a solitary thing on my own. I listen, then I decide. You can trust my decision, because I'm not out to get my own way, but only to carry out orders. Hello? Is that the last verse? Okay. Amen. Even Jesus was doing the will of the Father. Praise the Lord. So, all that to say this, and I'm wrapping up. Every day we're going through some type of process. Right? I mean, we're being processed. And every day, something significant is happening in us. And we think, man, Jim, I go through some days and it don't seem like there's much significant going on. I tell you, there's something going on. Something going on. The process that we're looking at isn't so much necessarily a squeezing type process all the time, like we see when we're processing apples into applesauce or something like that, but it's a process. And the process doesn't have to be a confusing mix of gobbledygook. It just needs to be a straight-laced, simple-step process. Step one, step two, step three, step four. Bang. Salvation, Holy Ghost, baptism, Holy Ghost. Off you go. Bob's your uncle. That's a Canadian term. Sorry. I don't know what it means either. But they always say it at the end of whatever they say. We're going to go on over here, Jim, today. Well, Bob's your uncle. Bob's not even here. What we have tried to do over the years, what the church has tried to do, well, not necessarily tried to do, but what has transpired is we've taken the process of following after God and we've tried to make it so hard so that only certain folks can obtain certain levels in God. When in reality, we all can obtain every level in God. There's nothing beyond your reach in Him. You don't have to say, well, this is what I do. No, you can reach whatever level you want. It's all obtainable in Him. So, this gentleman that was healed, he felt that he could safely obey Christ by picking up his bed and walk. That wasn't the normal process. It wasn't even the normal process for him to be healed on the Sabbath, because that required effort. But he was healed. The man who healed him said, take up your bed, walk, get out of here. The people that saw it said, whoa, wait, you can't be carrying your bed on the Sabbath. Yeah, but the guy that just healed me said, go ahead and carry it. Who do I listen to, you or him? I want you to know this morning, you need to listen to the voice of Jesus. And he's going to say some things to you, and they're always going to be good. I want you to know that if you're struggling this morning, Jesus is talking to your heart. He wants to lift you up. He wants to carry you out. He wants you to get up from the sheep pool. He wants you to move in a direction that he wants you to move in. He wants you to lay aside all the negativity. He wants you to lay aside all the crippleness. He wants you to lay aside everything that people have burdened you with over the years. People look at you, they judge you, they make certain statements because of what they may know, what they don't know, what they do know. They want to lay something on you that isn't their right to lay on you. You let God put on you what he wants to put on you. Because when you let people start dictating that, well, yeah, you did this, you did that, you did this, by God, you've got to go over here and sit. Right? I mean, I'll tell you what, if everybody did wrong, had to go over in the corner and sit, it'd be pretty daggone crowded in them corners. Amen. Huh? Come on, if you haven't done wrong, sit in the middle of the bench, rest of us, let's get in a corner. Well, come on. Oh, I'm just kidding. Time out. My grandbabies hate time out. Well, one of them really hates it, because one of them gets it more than the others. But he's a lovely child. He's got a lot of promise. Amen. And that's what God says about us. He said, I know that stinking Jim Murray has been in the corner all the time, but he's got a lot of promise. Amen. Come on. I want you to know something this morning. You don't leave here with anything else today. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I want you to know that Jesus sees value in you. I want you to know that you're not a confused, mixed up mess of a process. I want you to know that if you let Jesus into your heart, he streamlines you, bang, instantaneously. Streamlines it. You know, I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been on the sad side, and I've been on the happy side. How's that for putting it, huh? I've been on the sad side, and I've been on the happy side of the fence. And I'd much rather be on the happy side. But I know that if I'm on the sad side, that there's someone coming for me to bring me back onto the happy side, and his name is Jesus. Now, that sounds a little bit mundane and sounds a little bit, you know, simplified, but that's what he does. You know, if I can't tell anybody anything else in this life, I can tell them this. Jesus never fails. And Jesus will never give up on you. Amen. You know why I can say that? Because I know that. He'll never give up. Well, I knew it was just a matter of time before I came out. Because I'm a crier. I got to say something to make me cry. Figured it was coming. But I can tell you that he'll deliver you. He'll set you up. He'll pull you out. You don't have to lay by that pool today. Jesus will heal you. Amen. Everybody stand to your feet. Give me some, my little piano player. There she is. And the other bigger piano player. Amen. Amen. Conga players, drum, guitar players. Bless the Lord. Do you love him today? I'll tell you what, he loves you. I'll tell you what, we've all had things in our life that we're not proud of. But I'm telling you, Jesus can set you up. Not set you up for failure, but set you up for success.
Yes.
He'll set you up for success. If you need, as we just start to play a little tune here, this altar's always open. And we'd love to have you come if you need to come accept Christ as your Savior or just to lay some burdens down. But I'll tell you something else, you can do it from your seat. I don't have to see you kneeling here. I can see you standing back there. Jesus loves you today. He loves you today with all that he is. Amen. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Ah, hallelujah.
When you walk,
yeah,
through the water, I'll be there.
Well, when you walk. Witnesses unto me. Will understand I'm your Savior beside me. There's no one where I am the Lord your God.
Yeah.
Come on. Amen. Amen, amen. Doesn't matter where you're at. When you walk through the water, when you go through the fire, I'm telling you, he's there. Children, why don't you come on and sing to us today? Amen.